The demand for smart meters is expected to grow by more than $8.5 billion over the next 5 years. To reach this number of installations, smart meter vendors need to take advantage of the latest industry breakthroughs to ensure 24/7 reliable connectivity. Technology that offers future-proof solutions, seamless lifecycle management, all this at contained operational costs. For smart meter vendors serving multiple countries and rollouts, a single connectivity solution that can be deployed on any cellular network anywhere in the world can greatly simplify smart metering design, deployment, and lifecycle management.
Welcome to the Smart Energy International podcast, your guide to innovation and trends in the global power and energy sectors.
Hi, I'm Claire Falkveen, your host for today's episode on the communication challenges for smart meter rollouts. In this episode, we talk about the latest industry breakthroughs in cellular connectivity and how cellular innovations greatly simplify daily operations for smart meter vendors, grid managers, and DSOs. I'm joined by two experts, Petra Nila, Director, IoT Devices, IDON, and Francis D'Souza, VP Strategy and Marketing for Analytics and IoT Solutions, TALIS. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you. And hello, Petri.
Thank you, Claire. And hello, Francis.
Petri, I'm going to start with you. Could you perhaps give us an overview of who IDON are and what the promises that you make to your customers?
IDON is a technology company operating in Scandinavia with install base more than 3 million meters to more than 100 customers. We provide smart metering solutions that make our customers' daily operations easy. In that, we utilize the latest technologies and work with multiple partners to create innovations. Operating in the Nordics, IDON and our customers are keen adapting new technologies and innovations.
Francis, perhaps you could add to that by giving us an idea of who TALIS are and what the promises that you make to your customers.
Indeed. So TALIS's motto is building a future that we can all trust. And as part of that, TALIS helps governments and enterprises around the world with solutions for mission-critical infrastructure. So that could include solutions for defense, satellites, cybersecurity, and digital identity. And building on that theme of building a future we can all trust, we all know how important tackling climate change and the energy transition is for the future of the planet. And utilities and smart meter companies are investing heavily in developing solutions to accelerate that energy transition. TALIS helps these companies in their IoT projects by providing the cellular communication, be it LPWAN, 4G or 5G, that connects all of these smart grid assets and meters, the SIMs and the eSIMs that allow them to hook up to a network while keeping cost of ownership low with some breakthrough technologies, and very importantly, the cybersecurity that protects all of these connected devices as well as the data that's generated and exchanged by them.
Petri, what are the biggest connectivity challenges that you are experiencing with the rollout of smart meters?
Clearly, the biggest problem is the missing or the poor connectivity. In the typical rollouts of the smart meters, there are problems with connectivity, especially in the rural area. It typically requires then a physical visit from the installers to the meter, normally just changing the SIM card and then trying it again. The second problem is that when we have more than 100 end customer, there is a different needs and preferences for the used teleoperator. This creates a major logistical problem when we are having more than 300 to 500 different product variants because of the different operator used in the products.
It certainly sounds like a challenge of some epic proportions. Francis, from your perspective, though, I mean, you obviously see it from a slightly different perspective. What would you say some of the biggest challenges are?
In fact, I'll draw on what Petri said and give you some visceral examples that we've had from smart meter companies and utilities doing rollout. Three examples to illustrate the problems. The first one, technician goes in to set up a meter, doesn't have the network with, has a SIM in it, but that network isn't present, so needs to go back to the truck and get another SIM. Or very often if the SIM is embedded in, stuck into the meter, get another meter itself. Try to spend time to find the right configuration to set up the meter. Drives up enormously setup cost. Second typical example is meters out there in the field, has connection, suddenly connection drops. Why? Could be pure poor network conditions. Very often it's also linked to telcos changing their radio planning, and a meter that had coverage is now suddenly in the shadow zone and no longer has coverage. Third big problem is a meter typically has a lifetime of 10 to 15 years. A contract with a telco tends to be 5-6 years. But besides the contract itself, you have a lot of changes in the market at all points of time. You might have M&A between telcos. And one of the things about M&As is reducing the number of base stations typically because you don't want duplication. So again, you might have the problem that the meter that had coverage no longer has coverage. You might have telco moving out of a technology and a new player on the market with the new technology. So you need to be able to swap to them, but you can't. And if you wanted to do it, you have to send someone to replace the SIM in the meter. And this is prohibitively expensive. And if you were to put this down, you have two broad buckets. The utilities need the operational resilience for the setup cost, for the SLA, for the longevity. They also need the commercial resilience, the ability to change networks and adapt the provider based on industry evolutions, technology evolutions. Actually, all of these problems drive up the total cost of ownership, the cost of setup, the cost of not working, the cost of change. It drives up costs enormously. And that's for the utilities. Smart meter vendors have similar problems. They're under price pressure, and being able to manage all the variants that are needed to ensure that a network is present at the point of time where a meter is installed requires them to have complex logistics and personalization operations. Ideally, a smart meter vendor would like one meter that goes around the world and is programmed according to the utility parameters at that point of location. But because that smart meter needs to have a SIM in it that's meant for a particular operator for a particular country, you no longer have that one variant. You have multiple variants based on which utility you are shipping it to. This drives up the cost of smart meter vendors. And many smart meter vendors like Idon are also in the transition to a managed service model where the problems of in-life SLA and availability also become their problems. These are typically the connectivity problems experienced by both utilities and smart meter vendors.
What are the options for addressing this?
So a number of options have been tried over the years. Well, the easiest one is you have multiple SIMs from different operators. And then, based on the network that's present, the technician puts that SIM in. But this is not scalable and not cost effective. And because of the 10 to 15 year lifetime of a meter, you need to have a SIM that's soldered down because that's the only way it's going to last 10 to 15 years. So let's say that's one option, but not really feasible. The second one is a SIM with multi-IMSI, where you have IMSIs of different operators and can log on to different networks. But this is not future-proof because what if you have a new network because licenses are being issued all the time? How do you get that into the SIM?
Francis, I do just have to interrupt you here. And I have to ask, for those of us that are not initiated in the complexities of SIM cards, what is a multiple IMSI?
Very good question. So in fact, your phone has a unique identifier that links you to your mobile operator. So when you turn on your phone, how does it log on to Orange or how does it log on to Vodafone? Because it has an IMSI in it. So an IMSI, it's an acronym for a long ping. It's called International Mobile Subscriber Identity, and it's unique. So when an operator gives you a SIM, an operator gives you an IMSI, it gives you its IMSI, which helps you to log on to that operator. A multiple IMSI SIM is one where you have IMSIs of different operators. So theoretically, you could log on to any of those networks. But going back to the point, what if you do not have an IMSI there of an operator who you wish to contract within 3 years? How are you going to retrofit it to the SIMs already out there in your smart meters deployed around the country? Logistic nightmare. So that's what the multi-EMZ thing, which is why it started off being used, but is not really scalable. The third one is using SIMs on roaming, because technically on roaming, you're in another country, so you could log on to any network. But this, besides being expensive, is also actually banned in some countries. So, well, roaming isn't banned, but permanent roaming is banned because of security reasons. So you can roam for maximum 3 weeks or 4 weeks. A smart meter is out there to 10 to 15 years. So, I mean, no chance that you can have roaming. The fourth option out there is M2M specification for remote SIM provisioning. This was the first move towards allowing flexibility in the operator subscription on a SIM remotely. And this specification came out a few years ago. And while it solves some of the problems, it doesn't solve all, because it does create a more complex infrastructure for utilities and smart meter vendors. And it doesn't exactly solve the problem of logistics and variants that they face, because you still need an initial bootstrap, which depends on the country you're going to ship into, so you're back to where you started. And it's pretty expensive and heavy to set up. That's the fourth option. Now, in this imperfect world, something happened around 24 months ago, which changed the landscape. You had the iPhone that was introduced with an eSIM with a certain specification. And that resulted in the eSIM infrastructure, or we call it the consumer eSIM infrastructure, being set up across the world for serving the iPhone. And in fact, not that eSIM itself, but adapted to the smart metering use case, let's call it the IoT eSIM as we do, it can bring massive benefits to the sector. It could solve the problem of logistics, because the SIM is literally an empty shell and you could get a subscription at the last minute. And you could actually change the subscription over the air without actually sending someone to be able to replace the SIM or whatever. And these could be the possibilities to address the connectivity challenges.
Petri, have you experienced similar challenges when it comes to addressing these options?
Yes, I agree with Francis on the points. And some of the points our development teams already have like excluded. But what we have studied further and which we have also thought about was, first of all, about the roaming SIMs. Francis mentioned that and the complexity around that. And what we also found out when we were moving towards the massive IoT, that the roaming is not really even well supported by the networks so far. So there is a timing problem on that. Then for the multiple SIM side, we earlier already touched that subject, but this is also, we cannot find this working solution in the future, because we want to also move to this eSIMs which are soldered in the device. So changing and solving the connectivity problem is always meaning to change the full device at the customer, the smart meter. So that's why also we also ended up to continue with the consumer approach of the eSIM. And that is something we have signed a year ago. And this is some platform that we think that in the smart meters in the future, we can operate easily.
What would you describe as your ideal experience when it comes to smart meters and SIMs, Petri?
First of all, I think the ideal experience for the production will be that when we now have the solderable SIMs inside the device, we want to freely provision the SIM subscriptions to the devices on our production floor. This eases up our supply chain. And furthermore, I think we also want to change the subscriptions on the field. So whenever there is a connectivity problem, we would like to do the subscription changes on remote. Mm.
Francis, perhaps you could actually talk just a little bit more about the concept of an embedded SIM. I mean, what does it mean? And what are the benefits of this option?
In fact, an embedded SIM or an eSIM is a little bit of magic. So in fact, it will actually solve the problems that Petri alluded to just earlier. So an embedded SIM typically is one in which you can change the operator that's in the SIM remotely over the air without having to do a truck route. And it has two use cases. So the first problem that Petri mentioned was needing to put the operator subscription into a soldered SIM at the factory shop floor. How do you do that? Literally, the IoT eSIM or the IoT embedded SIM that we've made for smart metering is an empty shell. And at the point of time, whether it's in the factory, whether it's in the programming center, a smart, or even at the point of installation, a smart meter vendor like Eidon could define certain rules on the back end that says this utility, this operator, and turn on the meter. When the meter turns on, it knows which operator subscription it's got to download. Extend this further to the first installation of the meter. The technician goes into the field, is putting a meter, and the meter is fixed. It's at one place on the wall. So if there is no network out there, you've got a problem. Or if your selected network isn't there, you've got a problem. The embedded SIM takes care of that, because with what we've done specifically for smart metering, you could have a logic and you could have a selection of the most optimized network based on the multiple contracts a utility might have to ensure that you get coverage and that you can download an operator into that meter at that point of installation. So you're no longer, a meter is no longer in a gray zone, never be able to be connected because there's no, the selected operator signal isn't there. So that's the first use case of embedded SIM. You know, for the last stage personalization or point of installation, the eSIM is an empty shell, you download operator subscription. The second one is during the lifetime. Now you've got the meter, it's got connectivity, things happen. Things like a network might drop. A coverage might change because, say, an operator has changed the network planning, or there's merger and acquisition between operators, and typically that happens. Or an operator might no longer support the technology, but another one does. In this case, what the utility or the managed service provider needs to have is the capability for the meter to adapt to a new operator to recover the network if they've lost it, or to be able to change the operator over the air. That's the second big functionality that the embedded SIM brings, or the IoT eSIM brings. So in a nutshell, if you put it all together, the IoT eSIM helps bring operational resilience for the utility by driving down setup costs of the meter, by ensuring SLA and network availability during the lifetime of that meter, and commercial resilience by ensuring flexibility and the ability to adapt the operator based on network conditions, commercial considerations, and technology evolutions. Now, how does this help Eidon, for example, or smart meter makers like Eidon? In two ways. First, it helps Eidon bring a better level of service to its customers by giving them the flexibility without massively driving up Eidon's cost, because it allows SKU management, variant management, because remember, the SIM is an empty shell. So it could be programmed for the operator selected by the utility at any point of time, even at the point of installation. The second thing is meter makers like Eidon that are advanced in their journey are also looking at new business models, like managed service business models, because they bring additional value to their customers. For them to give managed service business model, they also have to adhere to an SLA. They need to guarantee a service level agreement. And I'm sure Petri could comment on that as well. And in order to be able to guarantee that SLA, having this IoT eSIM capability that ensures network availability come what may is critical. Would you agree with that, Petri?
Yes, and I think this SLA especially is going to be one of our challenges in the smart metering, because we are already testing with our customers to bring the meters down to the 5-minute series. Mm. So that demands real-time connectivity all the time, 24/7.
Absolutely, absolutely. So in a nutshell, Claire, the IoT eSIM brings huge benefit to utilities and smart meter makers while bringing down the total cost of ownership. It's an innovation that rides on something that's been created around the whole iPhone ecosystem, adapted to the smart metering world and just making life easy for the smart metering ecosystem.
Well, it certainly sounds like magic to me. Petri, specifically for you, I mean, we're currently seeing a business transformation, and Francis has alluded to this, from a product offering model to more of a managed service model. What transformation are you going through, and what are the implications on your daily operations?
Especially in the Nordics, in the last years, the customers have been increasingly asking for the turnkey solutions. So not only that they are after the smart meter technology itself, but they are also looking for the service providing for the multiple years. So we are offering them the devices, reading system solutions, integrations to those, and also the management of the connectivity for up to even 10 years. So for the operations, it means that, first of all, we need to understand fully our customer processes, all the details, what it means on the operations. Secondly, we need to understand the overall operations, the cost structure for the next coming years, and we need to be able to manage that. Thirdly, we need efficient tools and processes to manage the service providing and also the connectivity. All this highlights also the needs for the tools on the efficient problem management. Due to that, when we need to operate the 24/7 with really high performance requirements.
I mean, the Nordics were very involved in the initial development of a lot of the cellular technology we take for granted at the moment. So I imagine that a lot of your customers are very open to this kind of innovative service.
Yeah, I think we have actually had already this 4G deployment. We had, I think, first in the Europe, in the Nordic area, in the smart metering. Secondly, I think we also tested this M2M connectivity. Even in 4 years ago, we sent the first of these eSIMs to our end customer. And this was also one of the customer trials. So all customers are really open to go for new innovations. And secondly, I think the legislators are also after that. So whenever something is innovated to the market, the legislation is already changed, and it's all the time going to the more open infrastructure on the energy.
I'm sure that must make it a lot easier to work with that kind of, within that kind of environment. If you could perhaps just give me some idea of what benefits does working with Thales with regards to cellular smart meters bring for ADON?
We have worked with Thales since ADON was founded. And what differentiates Thales from the other solution providers is the capability to seek and create end-to-end solutions for the customer. They really understand our field of where we are working, and they have worked with us tens of years. Also, as a company, we share the same way of operating and innovating to create the end customer value. And I think this together allows us to bring the innovations quickly to the market.
Yeah, I think working with a partner that has the same ethos is really important to help you achieve your objectives as a service provider.
Yes, I agree.
Indeed, and maybe I could add on that, because we enjoy working with ADON as well, because it's a very open and trusted relationship. And while we bring the technology expertise with what can be done with cellular, what can be done with eSIMs and cybersecurity, ADON's domain expertise in smart metering is unparalleled. So by matching those two together, we're able to bring solutions that really matter to the end customers, which are the utilities, to mutual benefit of the whole industry at large.
Perfect. I think you raised quite a couple of important points there, Francis. And I do have to ask, when is this little bit of magic going to be more widely available commercially?
Well, the little bit of magic has left the labs and is now in first stage of testing, and all's going very well, actually. And we'd expect industrialization by the end of this year and mass rollouts next year, specifically for smart metering. But remember, this builds on infrastructure that already exists, and you've got millions of devices out there, albeit smartphones like the iPhones, with the eSIM capability. So we're adapting that and evolving it to smart metering. So we're fairly confident it's going to be in large volumes next year.
Yeah, I totally agree with Francis. I think the testing our development people have been really excited of the tests so far, and I think we are ready with our first devices on the end of this year. And I expect that we see bigger rollouts even on the next year on this, and then going forward on the next year, I think we will move most of our devices to the eSIM platform.
I certainly look forward to hearing how this expands and works out. And I'd like to say thank you to you, Francis, and to Petri for joining us. I am going to be following the ongoing technological innovations, particularly those that are going to make communication easier for metering rollouts. Thank you to both Talis and Adon for this incredible information and insight. Thank you for joining us on the Smart Energy International podcast. For more podcasts, you can visit the Smart Energy International website at smart-energy.com. Be sure to tune in again soon for more conversations and insights into the things that really matter to our industry. Until next time, I'm Claire Falkbane, and you've been listening to the Smart Energy International podcast.